Reflecting on the journey from creating an app for personal use to 26 million downloads, what was the most fulfilling part of Blinkist's evolution?
I think the most fulfilling part is meeting customers that use our product on a daily or weekly basis and their stories that they can share stories. Look, I read this book and that prepared me for a job interview and then I got the job. Or I read this book and this helped me to improve my relationship because I understood something that I hadn't understood before. At least whenever I talk to customers and see that what we had imagined in our head 11 years ago actually became a reality, and it became much much bigger and much more fulfilling than what we thought of back then. So that's the most fulfilling part.
Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Holger Same. Holger is the founder and CEO of Blinkist. Used by over 26 million people worldwide, Blinkist is an award-winning app that finds the most relevant, impactful books and podcasts and distills them down to their key ideas, which you can read or listen to in 15-minute explainers called Blinks. Holger, that was your intro in a very short blink. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Martin. Great to be here.
Awesome to have you. So let's kick the things off. Blinkist's origin story involves, you know, turning note-taking into a bite-sized learning revolution. Reflecting on the journey from creating an app for personal use to 26 million downloads, what was the most fulfilling part of Blinkist's evolution?
I think the most fulfilling part is meeting customers that use our product on a daily or weekly basis and their stories that they can share stories. Look, I read this book and that prepared me for a job interview and then I got the job. Or I read this book and this helped me to improve my relationship because I understood something that I hadn't understood before. At least whenever I talk to customers and see that what we had imagined in our head 11 years ago actually became a reality, and it became much much bigger and much more fulfilling than what we thought of back then. So that's the most fulfilling part.
Amazing. So Blinkist is about bite-sized learning. In a world filled with information overload, what's the superpower of short-form content, and how does it cater to, you know, the modern readers or listeners' needs?
Yeah. So, I mean, our attention spans are shrinking, right? Because we're all used to social media. We get really quick dopamine shots because we see that headline, we click on something, and right. We're inspired, or we smile because of a funny cat meme. I think if we want more meaningful content, that is, you know, content that teaches you something, that where you learn something from, if we want that content to compete in this new world where people just discover a lot through social media feeds, it needs to be shorter and it needs to have a quicker time to get a return and to get that dopamine shot. So I think that's a superpower for short form content. It can compete in this social media world and pull people into a more formal learning experience. So if you have a choice between a nice video on Facebook or a book, a lot of times you think, a book is too much time and I don't know whether it's relevant for me. But if there's something in between that lets you dip your toes into the book's topic, that lets you learn something already, then you understand, oh, this is relevant, and then you want to learn more, and then you go into the book. So it can be, or if done well, it can be a gateway drug to longer form content that helps people to learn.
So with Blinkist, you've distilled insights from thousands of nonfiction books. Can you share a transformative lesson or idea from a book that, you know, significantly influenced you?
One of my favorite blinks and also books is Mindset from Carol Dweck. And this is about a growth mindset or a static mindset. And it's about how you approach problems, where you think, I'm not good at that. I'm not talented, so I don't even try. Or where you think, well, I'm not good now, but I can learn it. And so I put in the work to overcome it. And reading that book, learning about these two different mindsets. And by the way, we all have both mindsets. We approach certain situations with a growth mindset and others with a fixed mindset. And and learning about that made me more aware about aware in situations when I had a fixed mindset instead of a growth mindset. And then I could course correct and say, I'm in the wrong mindset now. I need to apply a growth mindset, whether it's trying, motivating myself more or making sure I do the hard work to master something. But also when I, work with colleagues or with people who report to me, how I look at them, whether I think, well, they are not good at that, so I don't give that task to them, or whether I think, well, they may not be not good right now, but I can help them to become better. There is a difference in growth and static mindset, fixed mindset. The German word static mindset, that's why I'm mixing those. That helped me a lot to understand those. And then I thanks to this book, I approach much more things with a growth mindset these days. Also, I have two little boys. How I raise them, I'm more aware to teach them a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset.
Amazing. I got to check it out. Given your mission to encourage continuous learning, how have your own reading habits and learning preferences evolved throughout Blinkist's growth? And what's your vision for the future of education and personal development?
So, Blinkist's growth led to also a more busy job for me. So in general, throughout the last 10 years, I had less and less time to actually sit down with a book or read something and learn something formally. But a lot of practical challenges that I had to overcome. So I had a more learning on the job or learning by doing than studying something, which I like. I'm a practical guy. I'm not a theoretical guy. So I love to just go into something and figure it out as I go. That's also my preference. Obviously try to, the topics that I learn about gravitate towards how to build a business, how to, build a company culture, how to hire great people. So a lot of, or how to organize my day in a better way. So I gravitated towards topics that were important and urgent for me throughout those 10, 11 years. In terms of media mix, in the last 10 years, there's been so much change. Whereas 10 years ago, it was mostly books. I read a lot of books. And now it's also audiobooks, it's also podcasts, there's more online media out there, there's obviously Blinkist, so the mix got more, got broader, but there's no particular format where I say like this is the one go-to format where I learn. It's really a breadth of formats, and sometimes someone recommends a podcast, sometimes I discover great things on Blinkist, and sometimes it's just a good old book.
Sounds good, Holger. So I also heard that your go-to karaoke song is Wonderwall. So maybe you can tell us, what's the Wonderwall moment in your entrepreneurial journey that you look back on smiling or, considering a turning point?
There's many probably when I take that last word turning point seriously. We had a big turning point at the end of 2014. So we were 2.5 years into our entrepreneurial journey. Things weren't working that well. Like we launched a product, we tried to market it, but we didn't find a good growth channel. We didn't have product market fit really. And in mid of 2014, we took a trip to the US. We were at TechCrunch Disrupt and pitched our idea to a lot of business angels, a lot of people over there. 9 out of 10 people asked whether this is also available as audio, because we had only text versions back then. Came back and said, well, everyone's asking about audio. Maybe there's a trend coming. And that was before podcasts were a thing. So the podcast boom started at the end of 2014. So we went back and said, let's launch audio. So we launched audio at the end of 2014. During that time, we had also had made some learnings around the business model to go for an annual subscription instead of monthly, because an annual subscription gives us faster payback. It makes it easier to then reinvest in marketing. By that time, we also had figured out how to do Facebook marketing well, how to do the tracking and how to do the creatives. So yeah. That was a perfect storm. We added audio, we focused on annual subscriptions, and we cracked Facebook marketing for us. And these three things together were product market fit, if you will, or product market channel fit. And since 2015, we've been growing very, very nicely, tripled the business, doubled the business. So had really nice growth curves, and we're just growing, raising more money. And that was really 3-4 years where it was just the graphs were really nice without lots of, I mean, there were micro challenges and we always needed to work hard, but it felt, in hindsight, it felt easy and like a good momentum. So that was maybe that end of 2014 was that wonderful moment when things started to work really well.
All right. Holger, so Blinkist has a massive user base and creates a unique dynamic between authors and readers, or creators and the audience. How have you seen this model impact the relationship between the creators and the audience?
So I don't think we had a big impact on the relationship, because we didn't invest into community features. Like, it's not like as an author you can upload your own thing and then build a community with people and then interact with them. Mm-hmm. So that's something we every now and then considered, and we also may lean more into this community aspect in the future, but nothing we really invested in. So we didn't make it easier for authors, creators to build a relationship with their readers. What we made easier, and we also get that as positive feedback from a lot of authors, creators, is we help authors to spread their ideas to an even broader audience. If you're a book author, you reach book readers, right? People who are willing, who have the time, the money, the willingness to buy and read a full book, whether it's in print or in audio. But obviously, that is only a subset of the market. There is a much bigger market of learners out there that listen to podcasts, that are interested in videos, etc. And with Blinkist and with Blinks, we offered a new format, a new audience that authors can reach. Obviously, a lot of people who use Blinkist are also avid book readers, but there's also quite a few people who say, I don't have time for books, and but I still want to get the gist. I want to get some of the key insights. And so we created a new market, a new audience for authors, and help them to reach more people with their ideas, which authors care a lot about. They obviously care about selling books, but a lot of them also care about getting a big audience and being a thought leader for a topic, because they have a coaching business, a consulting business, or something else that is built on top of their reach and on top of their credibility.
Right. And you're offering, like, I think over 6,500 titles on Blinkist. I mean, Blinks of over 6,500 titles. How do you strike a balance between, you know, quantity and the quality of content, ensuring each Blink is impactful?
Yeah. So I think probably every book out there is impactful to one, to a few people. So there's not a lot of books that are not impactful at all. Every book has something to tell. So I think in the beginning, because scale was a challenge, we obviously made sure that we curate and select the best titles out there based on bestseller lists, based on what people talk about on social media, based on based on a lot of research. But the more we grew and the more our technical ability also grew, and also our ability to create content at scale, the more we shifted that problem to a recommendation and personalization problem. So today we can have 6,500 titles, and we're currently scaling that a lot because AI makes it even easier to scale that. So eventually there will be 10x of that. So we can have 5,000 titles, but we need to make sure to understand you as a learner well enough to only recommend you and expose you to the stuff that is impactful for you. And leave the long tail in the back of our hand. So that is all to say we ensure impact through personalization, through algorithms these days, and no longer only through selection and curation.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, Blinkist is curating insights from some of the thought leaders out there. If you could invite any person for a dinner and a Blink afterwards, who would it be and what would you discuss?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's so many. I think right now, I read the Elon Musk biography the other day, and I think he's a really interesting person. I don't, there's a lot of things I don't agree with, but I think he's really interesting and he has a very strong point of view and he follows that point of view and that direction. And I would probably be curious to tap more into his head to get even more insights. Why does he do things the way he does them? What is his approach to leadership, to culture, how does he think about the downsides of his approach? So I think interesting person. Again, like a lot of things, I have a different approach, but I usually find it more insightful to talk to people that have a different perspective on the world, because you learn much more than just talking to 100%. Someone who follows your approach or who's similar.
100% agreed. Holger, so without giving away too many secrets, can you tease the audience with any exciting projects or features Blinkist has in the pipeline? What can users look forward to?
Yeah, so we got acquired last year by GoOne, and GoOne is very focused on the B2B space. We are
right.
Really focused on the B2C space, and we want to bring that closer together. So we believe there's a big opportunity for Blinkist to also be a tool that organizations can use in their learning and development strategy. You can think of things like, you know, that requires more collaboration, like because in an organization you want to learn together, maybe you have teams, so we certainly explore community features, if you will, to help people collaborate. Yep. Recommend stuff to each other, discuss it. We'll explore new formats, because there's, as I said, there's so many more things we learn from, not just books and book summaries, but others as well. So we are currently exploring what's our place in this broader format world, and should there be more formats on Blinkist, or should there be a learner profile on Blinkist where you can track everything you learn? So these are things we're considering. Also think, I mean, I'm closely following Duolingo's success. They've really nailed engaging people through gamification, obviously for language learning, gamification lends itself better, but that's another opportunity area that I'm really excited about, to see what gamification elements can we bring to Blinkist to make it even more engaging for people to keep going.
Awesome, looking forward to see what you guys got in store. So now imagine an ideal Blinkist and chill scenario. What's the perfect reading environment for enjoying Blinks? And, you know, as a Blinkist book club curator, what three books would be in your first selection? Books or Blinks that would be the stars of that cozy setting?
Yeah, so I mean, usually I tend to consume Blinks when I'm on the go. It fits well when I'm on the commute. That's not very cozy. When I read a book, I'm on the beach holiday or in front of a nice fireplace, so that's more cozy. I think Blinks are ideally consumed because they fit so well when you're on a commute to your workplace, or when you're traveling and have like an hour to fill, and not like this 3-hour focus time. Blinks fill that time really well. It may not be that chill scenario, but it's a really cool scenario to be in. And as a Blinkist book club curator, I think first book would be Mindset. I love that. I already already mentioned why. So
yes.
I would put that. Then I really love a book when, you know, and for entrepreneurs, for people who want to build a company. I'm a big fan. Ben Horowitz wrote two books, The Hard Thing About Hard Things and What You Do Is Who You Are. If I had to pick one, I would start with a second, What You Do Is Who You Are. It's about how to build a company culture. It has lots of great stories, great examples of how other companies did it. So Blink already has a lot of insight. So that's a good gateway drug. But then I can also fully recommend the full book to tap into. It's very practical. Ben Horowitz is obviously very close to people who do it every day.
Yeah.
I learned a ton from that book on how to think and how about company culture. And then, because we want to make it a little fun and not just make it about work, there's a Blink called Drunk, and it tells the history of why people get drunk. And it also gives it, like, it makes it really, it explains it through evolution, why it's an evolutionary benefit or advantage to get drunk. Because obviously when we get drunk these days through alcohol or also drugs, we get high.
Yeah.
And why did that, why do humans seek that? Why is that in us? And there's a really cool, interesting, insightful evolutionary explanation.
Okay. I would ask you why, but that would probably be a spoiler alert for those going to check.
Let's make it a cliffhanger. I also think it's really nicely produced Blink, like nice, cool sound effects, cool voice. My favorite Blinkist voice recorded it. And just, I love these stories as well. You know, I likely wouldn't buy a book about that topic because there's so many other topics I need to learn deeper about. But that's one of the benefits of Blinkist. It exposes you to something that you would never buy or read in full. But that's super interesting and provide some nice stories you can then share over dinner or in a podcast. Frank would be the third book.
Amazing. Holger, so before we wrap up, if you could blink your entrepreneurial journey with a Blinkist and share this bite of wisdom for aspiring entrepreneurs, what would they be?
I think just get started. If you have this goal, this big vision ahead of you, which seems like a big mountain and you don't know where to start, you climb the big mountain by taking step after step after step. So I think one thing that's really important for entrepreneurs is to develop that bias for action. And just, you don't need to have all the 10 steps figured out. You need the next two steps figured out. And then you just go there and learn as you go. So giving, for young entrepreneurs, have the confidence to just go. Don't think that all of the other experienced entrepreneurs have it figured out. What they do is they just go and learn as they go. And,
and
go with the mantra, a problem is a problem when it is a problem. That would be one piece of wisdom. The other piece is, don't think you have to do it all alone. Surround yourself with mentors, thinking partners, with other people. Connect yourself with peers. Reach out to people who've done it before. Ask for advice. There's so many things you can learn to take a shortcut here and there. I learned a lot from mentors, coaches, from peers, from other founders I talked to. And then I'm still doing this wrong, but to really focus, to think about when we started Blinks, we had this big idea of what we could build, and we got lost in this complex product vision and started to design it and build towards it, and then didn't realize that the MVP for Blinks would have been an email newsletter where we send a book summary every week and charge $1 a month for it. To get to our first 1,000 customers who enjoy that. So we would have not needed engineers and designers to build it. It would have been much cheaper, much faster to market. And we would have learned who wants it, what they're willing to pay for it, what's the right. And I think we back then, and I also see a lot of young entrepreneurs, we think too complicated. We have this shiny vision, and then we build this shiny vision instead of really saying, what is the core thing that is new, that no one has built yet, that I want to build and that adds value to my customers? What is the core of that? What's the easiest way to deliver that value? And then to verify whether that is actually something that people want to pay for. And then only once you have that initial product market fit then to go on from there. So yeah, to really simplify and get to the core of things. That's the third nugget I would share.
Amazing. Thanks for sharing, Holger. And looking ahead, what's the next big goal or personal challenge you're excited to tackle, either within the Blinkist universe or beyond?
So within the Blinkist universe, we merged with Go One. So we're currently in the process of integrating two companies. I'm now the new chief product officer for that combined company. So there are plenty of challenges to bring two cultures, two companies together, to oversee a broader remit, complex product, to bring that together and get the products to the next stage so we can realize the vision that we have together, why we joined Go One. On a personal side, I have two young boys, so I want to make sure that I'm a good dad to them, a good partner to my wife, while doing this exciting job. Because this job is, I'm a workaholic, and it's easy for me to spend 10 hours a day just in work to focus on these challenges. But to find a good balance there and then spend enough time with family and don't regret in 10 years that I didn't see the kids growing up because I worked too much.
Right. Perfect. By the way, any blinks you have to recommend regarding that topic?
There's some German blinks that I read about that. I don't know the English translations to that, so I would have to share them with you later, and then we can put them in the show notes.
Awesome! Yeah, let's do that. Also, I would need some. I also have a little 4-year-old daughter. And I would love to have some nice recommendations of blinks from you.
Yeah. I mean, what I read, and I forgot the name of the blink and the book, but this, you know, when people, when they were about to die, when they reflected on their life, and no one ever said they wish they had worked more. And everyone says, like,
right,
wish they had spent more time with family, with kids. And kids grow up fast, as you know. I mean, the last, I think you said your daughter's three. The last 3 years were probably went by
a blink of an eye.
So one of my
it went like a blink of an eye, but also blinking felt like little naps throughout these 3 years. So I'm actually don't know what I'm talking about right now. Still, we didn't recover from not sleeping for 3 years. But yeah, this is a perfect ending of this interview. Holger, thank you so much for being on the show. It's such a pleasure to have you. I can't wait for what's new on Blinkist, and I wish you all the best and hope to talk to you soon again.
Thanks, Martin. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.